response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
You're not going to believe the conversation you're going to hear today. Trust me on this. Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We got a lot of guests in store today. Our buddy Brad Nessler's going to stop by. Tony Gwynn Jr., our Odyssey MLB insider, as these races have gotten tighter. Braves lose last night. And we're also going to get a chance to talk to our buddy Connor Riley from Dog Nation to get the latest on the Dogs who are at camp there set themselves, getting ready for the upcoming college football season. But, guys, can we clear something up real quick? Falcon fans, I'm talking specifically to you. Mike said something to me today, and I kind of lost my mind and got upset because I don't want to endure another long, painful season. And then, you know, come November, we're already making plans for December and certainly, you know, January, when hopefully we're talking about the playoffs. That's what we'd like to be talking about. But, Mike, you said something to me today, and I just want you to repeat this because it got my goat, and I think it's going to upset you guys. Maybe it won't. Maybe there's some truth to this, but it's something that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, I said to Carl, and I've been thinking about this. I've been harboring these thoughts for a month or two now. And, you know, it's funny because we joked around earlier in the year and I said, I'm not going to be the hype man because every year I get sucked into practice and I see some things I like. And okay, we're going to do it. It's very, very winnable division all these years and we still found a way to not win the division. I think, and I said this a few times, but I'm just going to put this out there because I don't want to, you know, be true to thyself, Carl. If I feel it, I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I don't think the Falcons are going to do anything this year. I think this is a gap year. I think that Matt and Ian have a plan. And I want to preface this by saying this is in no way some kind of condemnation of Arthur Blank or Matt Ryan or Ian Cunningham. But we just don't have the pieces. You got to have a quarterback. We don't have a quarterback right now. We don't. Maybe Michael Penix emerges as the guy when he gets on the field right now. We don't. Right now, we don't. You know, the defense took a big hit. We're bad against the run. I don't think we're going to be any better against the run. You know, we lost a lot of production as far as pass rush. That's out the window. Got to try to find it. You know, that's why we went and got a guy we're going to talk about in a second, which is it's a great signing if it was like 2017. But as far as the big picture, I think that this is the gap year. This is a year where you cleared the decks with the cap. You got the Kirk Cousins and other bad decisions off the books. Not sure what this means for a guy like Jesse Bates with his contract, but I think this positions you for next year with a ton of cap space to do a lot of things and potentially have a draft pick which can find you that quarterback that'll be the franchise guy moving ahead. So I just want to say, in my heart of hearts, I think Vegas is right. I think we're going to struggle to win 7 games. I think this is going to be a disappointing season if you expected this team to win 10 or more games to make the playoffs.
And then I responded with, no! Don't do this to me again!
Yeah.
Falcon fans are fed up. You got a new coach, new philosophy, new coaches. You've got some players who we think are really good.
Right.
And my thing with this is, if you really want to continue to slowly dissipate and lose this fan base, have a mediocre season again. I'm not telling you that's the plan, but when Mike said that to me today, and he may be right about this, 404-726-0929, I'm not ready to endure that again. We've been dealing with this crap for 7-8 years now. Every year, 500 or 500 or below, 500 or below. And if we're not even going to be 500, by the way, that doesn't guarantee you a top pick. So this idea of next year that you're all of a sudden going to get good, that all of a sudden you're going to be able to go draft the quarterback you want, you know how much stuff has to go right for that to fall into place?
Right.
You've got to try to put what you've got together and make it the best you possibly can. And if that, by the way, means, hey, we did the best job we could, Mike, and you're right, we're still a 6-win football team, okay. But to just say it's a gap year, and again, they would never admit this. Okay, we're talking about the front office. They would never say this. But if you're telling me this is a gap year, you know, and it basically you're wasting our time,
right.
I have a problem with that. I think there are pieces in place that can make this team viable to win this division. What is this division, guys? This isn't the AFC West or the NFC East. Guys, this division is blah.
Right. I know.
And Mike,
I know.
I look at this and I go, man, you said that to me. And I went, gap year? How am I to get excited about this? How are the Falcon fans, sorry, Mike, who spent money to go overseas to get excited about this? You can't. Fix what's wrong, okay? Get it fixed. Coach some guys up. They signed Za'Darius Smith today. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that. They're trying to improve this pass rush. But, man, do you feel like this is a gap year?
Look, we took care of our core guys. You know, Bijan is one of the top players in the league. You sign him, and that's a no-brainer. Anybody who said otherwise, I'm sorry. I mean, whether you feel it's going to take a year or two to turn this around, you don't let a guy like Bijan walk out the door. Drake they love, so they signed him. Pitts, I thought maybe just let him do the tag year, but they signed him too. They believe in him. And Bergeron's a no-brainer. Bergeron's a top 25 guard. I mean, he's one of the better guards in the league, so you lock him up. So it's not like the cupboard is bare. I don't want people to think we're going to win one game. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there are some fundamental flaws to this team. The quarterback is a giant question mark. And maybe that, and hopefully it does get settled. And look, guys, this doesn't mean that Michael Penix can't win the job, establish himself as the man, earn himself a contract in 2 years, whatever. But right now, I'm just telling you, my spidey sense says they brought in some executives who know what they're doing. Ian Cunningham has a plan. Drafted well with what he had to draft with. I also think, you know, the way they use voidable years in the contract, they're not going to get hamstrung against the cap. We're never going to find ourselves in the cap hells that we had, you know, going into this year and we did back in 2021. So I think there are some positives here, but I just don't see it. When you don't have a quarterback and you don't have pass rush, and again, some of this is we didn't know Jalen Walker was going to get hurt. I mean, they never could have ever expected that to happen, but we knew the suspension was coming for Pierce, but we're not good against the run. We have no replacement for Caden Ellis right now. Maybe one will emerge. So that's why I'm just feeling this is a year that, guys, it's probably going to be less than you expect. And I've been thinking this at camp, and I've been trying to push these feelings down. But today I just said, you know what? I'll just let the chips fall. I don't believe in this team this year winning more than seven games.
404-726-0929. Told you. Look, there are a lot of shows that are afraid to have this conversation. We're not. We're going to ride with the team. When they're good, we tell you. When they're bad, we absolutely tell you. But going into this season, and especially after what we saw in the first preseason game, and that is not the total indicator of this conversation, by the way. It's just another thing, okay? Friday's just another thing. But all the things that Mike's talking about, anybody can do the math. I just don't want to. Right. I just don't want to look at this and say, oh, yeah, it's a gap year, and Kevin Stefanski, it's a wasted first year for your tenure. And it's another wasted year for Bijan. And it's another wasted year for Drake London. Right. And by the way, why the hell you pay all these guys if it's a gap year? You shouldn't have paid anybody. You should have just wrote all these contracts out if it's a gap year. Falcon fans, are you following me on this? 404-726-0929. James in Loganville wants to chime in on this, Mike. James, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man.
Hey, man. Good afternoon, guys. Carl. I feel so bad for you, man. The minute that we signed Tua, this is exactly what I said. I said, we're going to have to ride this out to hopefully a top five pick so that Stefanski, Ryan, and Ian Cunningham can get their guy. I never believed Tua was going to do anything with us. I think his confidence is shot. Go back to all of his injuries, even back in college. How can you stand in the pocket with any amount of confidence? And after what I saw from Penix last year, he's obviously not the guy either. I'm sorry, Carl, but it just is what it is, man. It's a gap year.
James, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. James has no confidence in either one of these quarterbacks. Penix fans get mad at James. You were waiting for him to compliment Penix, weren't you? He said, after I saw what I saw last year, I don't have confidence in Penix either. I just don't think you can throw another $150 million hypothetically past this season when he comes up next offseason, Mike, and you're thinking about extending him with the injury history. Guys, he would have to have, in my opinion, he would have to have a remarkable year, Mike, where all of the things Mike's talking about are not true, and he plays so well, and I don't even know when we're going to see him, that he leads us to the playoffs, Mike, and dispels all of the myths about everything we've been talking about, and the team goes, he is our guy. Do you feel like that's going to happen? We're having a real conversation today, Atlanta. This is a real conversation. Before we get to the season, before Pittsburgh happens, let's talk to ATL Ja next. ATL Ja, welcome in. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm with Mike Bell on this one. I think they're really building to next year, and I really think Matt Ryan wants to do what he did himself, come in with the team, you know, with veterans around him and ready to – get the ball rolling. And then, you know, next year, that's a good draft for quarterbacks. You have some good linebackers. You got some good run stoppers. And I feel like the team is just going to be in a way better situation next year.
I mean, like, it sucks because this goes now 9 years if we don't make the playoffs this year. And again, in a winnable division. I mean, the Bucs, you could then say, some folks like the Saints. I think the Saints got to really, the stars have to align for the Saints to win 10 games. Some people really like the Saints to jump this year.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not saying the future is bleak. I'm saying you got to wait one more year. And if you're like me, look, you got a personal seat last year. You can't get rid of it. You can't sell it. So I'm in.
Especially if it's a gap year.
It's a gap year. It's not like the
especially if it's a gap year.
The free market, the way it works is, if there's an interest, the valuation goes up.
Yeah.
When there is less interest, the value goes down. So, look, I'm a fan. I've always been a Falcon. I was brought up and raised to be a fan through thick or thin. I'm just telling you, what I've seen with this team and the way I think we're going to be this year, I just think this is a year that sets us up for some success, but we're going to take it in the shorts at times this season.
Let me ask you a question. We're going to talk to Joe and Joel here in just a second. Your phone calls are welcome. Is this an indictment also of Stefanski? Two-time coach of the year. Isn't he supposed to come in here, Mike, and be better? Is this an indictment? I'm asking.
Right.
Is this an indictment? Because, look, if he took the job and they came to him and said, and we don't know if Matt Ryan said this, like, hey, by the way, like your style, we're going to suck your first year. But, you know, we'll get better because we'll draft better and we'll do better stuff in the free agency. But just so you know. And Stefanski said, yeah, hell, I'm out of Cleveland. It doesn't matter. We can suck my first year. I'm all in. Is that what happened?
No, I don't think they have. I don't know how that conversation went down. I think there's a realization about the ceiling for this team going into this year. Look, the only reason I would not have said what I just said and tweeted what I just tweeted about it is if Michael Penix Jr. hadn't hurt his knee, had success last year, and goes into this year with Stefanski on level ground. I mean, there would be no competition. It's Michael Penix's job. But I have to see Michael Penix. I don't know when Michael Penix is going to play. Stefanski might still find pay dirt with Penix Jr. And we might be, like, now if we can score 24 or points more or more a game, we might find a way to grind out more than 7 or 8, 9 wins. But that's a big if. You know, we got to get this quarterback situation. And who is it? Dan Orlovsky thought he saw Tua would play quarterback into November, and then Penix will get on the field?
We got to wait till November to see Penix potentially?
Yeah. Day-Day, or Damian told me that today. I was like, so let me get this straight. We're going to blank off for the first 4 months, 3 months of the season.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
And then, okay, we'll see Penix. That puts us nowhere closer to knowing if we have a quarterback on this team.
Well, and basically what he was saying is that's about how long he thinks the rope is going to be for Tua to be playing kind of subpar football.
Season will be over by then.
Yeah.
Day-Day, this season will be over by then. Like, I say over if we're in a losing streak or we're you know, below 500. It'd be too late for Penix to come back. And by the way, another hypothetical. If he comes back to a losing team but plays well, does that mean you want him as the starting quarterback for the future? I'm asking you, Atlanta.
You don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. Right? And look, this is not an overreaction from a meaningless preseason game. We're just talking about, you know, what Tua is. Is he going to reinvent himself? Is Penix? You tell me. I feel there's limitations. And I'm really starting this conversation from the defensive side before I'm getting to quarterback and feeling we're going to struggle. So that's why I felt what I said, and I feel the way I feel. And I hate feeling like that because I want to be excited. The last thing I want to do is just kind of roll my eyes and go, do I want to go to the Formula One race in Vegas this November because we're going to be 5 games under 500?
Go ahead and make plans. Apparently. Joe and Joel, we're going to come back with your phone calls. Phone lines are open. Want to know how you feel about this. Really. And by the way, don't wait till week 5 to go, I told you. You know, Mike said. Call now. What's your gut tell you? How are you feeling about this? 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bill.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week. Hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bill. We're going to talk to our guy, Tony Gwynn Jr. here in just a second, but I want to continue with the phone calls after Mike threw a monkey wrench in me in my lunch today.
I hope, as I say every year, well, last year's I've been hyping it. This year, no hype. I hope I'm wrong.
Joe and Buford wants to join us. If you're just tuning in, Mike laid out, again, very, very good reasons as to why this is going to be a gap year. It's so funny. One of our loyal listeners and a friend of the show, Allison. She actually lives in Charlotte. She makes the trips to Atlanta for all these home games. And we saw her at camp, and she just hit us up on social media and said, well, then I need a gap year with these season ticket prices, which is
don't believe that's going to happen.
But Joe and Buford, what are your thoughts on this, man? How are you feeling right now about what's your gut tell you about this team? Hey, man.
Hey, Mike. It's Joe from the Cuse. Checking in 3 weeks after I paid you guys a visit at the Hooters, and I wrote what I wrote on that napkin.
Six,
so my suggestion
he said
to
six
you,
and a half
friend,
was the under. The under.
Did. Yes, he did.
That's correct. And my suggestion to you is you better grab the under before it moves from 6.5 to 5.5.
Yeah, it's trending the wrong way. So, Joe, he would be with me that he feels his team is not playoff caliber.
Yeah, real confident, Joe. Yeah, I remember. You wrote that down and showed us. Joel in Atlanta wants to join the conversation. Joel, thanks for your patience, man. What's on your mind? Talk to us.
Hey, man, you know what's really funny? I literally was going to say, who needs the best strategy right now? It's the season ticket sellers. They call us every year, and they're like, hey, man, and it's so funny that woman, actually, that your girl that you were talking about had
Allison.
The exact same comment.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I think people are starting to think about that more. I put my note was, if this is a gap year, what about the gap year for sales, right? Like, why are we getting hit every time? Like, oh, you got to pay so much. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I think this is what I wanted to share with you. I think that besides the strategy for the salespeople, I feel bad for them. Fanatics, right? You know, we're talking about the Falcons fans and all of that. I come from Nebraska, so we don't have a pro team. I've been here since 99. And I'm just going to say this. I saw the Chiefs. That was my first team I ever saw as a kid, right? And I came here, the first time I really had a team was the Falcons. And really, we just went to every game that we could. We were really diehard people with it. Became season ticket holders. Just loved the atmosphere, loved everything. But the fans, man, the fans are supposed to make you feel good. Like a fan, you put it in a room, dude, it's supposed to circulate the air. It's supposed to feel good. These fans that are now, it's like the fans are giving us all hot air. Georgia's all about blowing hot air. Like the air, you roll down the window, it's always hot no matter what. And I feel like there's so much of this happening with the Falcons that pretty soon, I really think if you watch some of the teams that have just become a no-team type of team, they really start to focus on the fans. The fans start to become the part of the show. It becomes more of an entertainment experience. And I think you guys will probably start doing that. I think you'll start probably focusing on groups of people that are coming in and working the crowds and talking less about the Falcons. I really think that this year is going to be you'll have to come up with something to get entertainment. I've noticed that the franchise always tries to keep the people entertained, but we can't have all these people coming in wearing jerseys from three quarterbacks ago celebrating the Falcons. You know what I
mean? That's true. Hey, and by the way, we've talked about it. Until you can change the culture and we start winning and go to the playoff year after year, we're always going to have to deal with the other fans or folks living in the past. But I get it. They do a great job as far as the entertainment, but that's part of any NFL experience.
It is. Game day experiences around the league, doesn't matter what stadium you go to. If you're going to Pittsburgh week one, you'll see.
Braves do it. Hawks do it. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, Joel. And look. This is worst case scenario, and I got to say one thing before we bring on Tony Gwynn, because we know the Falcons folks listen. We're not telling you they don't want to win. That's not this conversation. Everybody in the organization, we know them all. They want to win. But when you start talking about where we are and the personnel and the situation we're in with quarterback, it makes you wonder what this season is going to be. And when Mike says, I just don't feel like this is going to be that year that everybody might be expecting, and here's why. Don't get in your bag. I did earlier, and that's why we're bringing it to the air, because I was like, no, I don't want to hear this crap.
Right.
But there's something to it. All right, we got to get back to this, and we will. Tony Gwynn Jr. brought to you again by Granger for the ones who get it done. And Tony, man, appreciate you jumping on. Obviously, we're going to leave you out of this football conversation, but I want to
– How about them Chargers?
yeah, exactly. I want to ask you about MVP, man. Mike and I have been having this conversation the last few days. Matt Olson's just been carrying this team, man. Who's your top three candidates, top two in the National League? And is Matt Olson one of them?
Oof, Matt Olson right now is probably outside the top two.
Okay.
Just based on, you know, right presently speaking, coming off the night PCA had, I mean,
it
seems like it's Ohtani and PCA. And, you know, but this is one of those years that it's going to take the whole season. Like, you're not going to be able to decide in August. You're not going to be able to decide in September. That's how close I think it can be. And a swing week from any one of the three can start to change the conversation But I think right now, if you're forcing me to pick two, I'd say it's Ohtani and PCA.
And for guys who don't follow, the acronyms Pete Crow Armstrong with a wins above replacement of 7.7.
Home run to win it last night.
He's just guys making things happen. He's certainly our team MVP, Tony, and Matt Olson. He just keeps on trucking, doing the work. But the pitching staff, we're going to get a shot in the arm. We get A.J. Smith-Sharver coming back up. Guys that were bellyaching about, why do we need starters? They've kind of stumbled of late. Martin Perez had a bad outing. Grant Holmes had a bad one. I know we asked you a few weeks ago, but with a guy like Smith-Sharver and what we've gotten so far from Mally, you feel the pitching will have enough in a division series?
Yeah, I do. And again, I think it boils down more on your offense, right? Because you're going to have to score. I think you got to have to give some of those guys some room for error. I mean, come postseason, it'll be a little bit different, right? You shorten your rotation. You got your better guys. You got the built-in day offs. You know, most likely for a team like the Braves. But I do think having AJ come up and kind of supplement that back end, I think is helpful. And this is why you need as many starters as you do down the stretch, because those arms to fill those innings becomes super valuable.
Tony Gwynn Jr., our guest here, guys, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. You said, you know, about the MVP race, it's going to take the entire year. I think these races across the board are getting very interesting. Tony, we're almost to September, and there are so many teams that are in contention. And I'm not just talking about the wild card, right? To me, this is great for baseball. This is great because the interest level is going to be there, to your point, all the way to the end, whether it's the American League. But when you look at the National League, Cubs, Phillies, Padres, D-backs, like all these teams have a shot when you start talking about the wild card. Hell, the Marlins are only a few games out.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think this was part of what Major League Baseball wanted when they expanded the field. They wanted to get to a deadline and have so many teams in it that everybody does a little bit of something they think can help them. And it all seems to be getting tighter as we go along. I mean, the National League is crazy. The American League is bonkers at this point. I mean, there are so many teams still in. There are teams who sold at the deadline and now find themselves in it on that side. I mean, Baltimore has one of the last spots. They completely sold coming deadline. And so I think this is, as you said, this is perfect for baseball. It kind of takes everybody's mind off, you know, what comes at the end of it, because at least coming down the stretch here, it looks like we're going to have a fantastic, not only wild card race, but some of these division races are going to turn out to be something as well.
Right. So, our man Tony Gwynn, if the season ended today, it'd be really short. But if we played in the NLDS, it would be the sixth seed Phillies right now if the season ended. And I was just talking about this with Carl yesterday. I mean, they're just doing the work quietly. You know, I mean, we've had this lead for the entire. We had our wobble in June, but we had the lead basically the entire season. How should Braves fans be scared of the Phillies?
Yeah, everybody should be scared. I mean, listen, this is what makes the National League so, I think, legit this year, is that there's not as much of a separation as I think there has been the last couple of years between the top teams and then everybody else, right? I think the Dodgers have faced some difficulty. I don't think there's any question. Watching them play in the second half, they haven't been right, and they're starting to get their guys back. So we'll see if they can, you know, hit the gas again and start to separate, but it hasn't looked like that. And so Milwaukee has the question marks. Can they get beyond – you know, the first couple of rounds, can they actually put it together? And then, you know, I just think that the wild card teams are much stronger this year than they've been in the past. So I think, yes, Atlanta should be afraid of Philly, but I think that also goes for a lot of these teams that are involved in the playoff race. I don't think the division winners are separating themselves in a series the way they have in the past, it seems like, especially last year.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention, too, about Pete Crow Armstrong. He's 24. He's the first player since 2010 to hit a leadoff homer and then a walk-off homer in a single game, which is what happened last night, which is why there is buzz. But there has been all season long, as we're talking about Matt Olson in the MVP race. Tony, Ohtani, he's back. And look, it feels like the Dodgers are wobbling right now. Do you feel that way?
I'm reluctant to say yes. I'm reluctant to say yes, but it does feel like they're wobbling a little bit. But in the same token, though, Dodgers have always been better when they've had some type of challenge. You know, I think, you know, a couple years ago, remember in 24, they were on the doorstep of getting defeated. They had to use a bullpen day to kind of get through it, and then they got on a roll. They hit the kind of same turbulence last year. Padres closed the gap, come close to that end of the season. Dodgers end up winning the division, and then they get on a heater again. And so, you know, I think they have had some issues. The thing that I don't think anybody's talking about is and it's because they're so talented, is they are getting older. You know, this is a roster with the core of it that is starting to age a little bit. And so you wonder if that is going to be a factor as we move forward. You know, I think that's the one thing we forget, because these guys have been so good for so long. They are getting older, and it's just the time, you know, the game has told us as guys start to get older, it's not always as easy to hit that switch and get into that type of mode. So we'll see moving forward, but I certainly think you guys say that they're a little wobbly right now.
Right on. And then finally, you know, we already went through the trade deadline and everything else, but more and more stories kept coming out, Tony, the last few weeks about DeGrom just not wanting to play ball, wouldn't sign off on a trade with the Braves. Surprised the guy near the end of his career wouldn't want to make a run with a team that's certainly a contender over the Rangers?
No. I mean, listen, I think maybe people don't understand. I mean, having to move, pick up your stuff and move, it's not all that easy, especially when you already have a family. You know, I think when you're solo, you don't have any kids, you know, you're by yourself, it's a lot easier to kind of pick up and move. And, you know, he may be settled in Texas. Listen, I had a father that took a discount to stay where he was because he enjoyed being where he was. He didn't want to uproot his family. I think we often focus on the winning side of it, but there is a human side of it that sometimes, you know, outweighs those things for certain guys. Not everybody is kind of built the same way. So, no, it's not a surprise to me to see that. It kind of makes sense considering where he's at in his career.
Great stuff, Tony. As always, Tony Gwynn Jr. brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Tony, we'll talk next week, man, as things get more and more interesting. Appreciate the time.
No problem. You guys take care.
You too.
Cool.
When we come back, 70% of you say, yeah, they need to play. We'll get into that and much more next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our Duke.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Bell poll yesterday had to do with whether or not, after what you saw in the first preseason game, would you run the starters back out there in the second preseason game? The reason why it's a question, guys, is because our coach, Kevin Stefanski, said first and third game, I'm going to play the starters. And 70% of you said, yeah, these guys need to go back out there. They need to play. Now, Stefanski's not coming off of his philosophy. Starters will get reps during the joint practices and will not play on Saturday. So that's a little bit disappointing just based on the performance that we got across the board, guys. It's not about one dude, one play, or any of that. But the other news today is Za'Darius Smith gets signed by the Falcons, Mike. And we haven't spent a lot of time on that because we wanted to get out there the discussion we were having off air, and we appreciate all the phone calls. We will get more of your calls coming up. Some guys hit us up on social media saying, I'm calling, man, pick up, and we will. But Za'Darius Smith, Samson Ebukam, right. Braylon Trice, Azeez Ojulari, these are the names, guys. Cameron Sample. These are the names that are in the edge room. Not Jalen Walker, and at least for 8 or 9 weeks, not James Pierce Jr.
Right.
Pierce will be back, but that's just, you know, we know that's on hold. So how good do you feel now about a team that was second in the league in sacks? And by the way, nobody predicted that we'd be second in the league in sacks last year.
Right.
So I'm not going to say that you can't scheme up 20, 25 sacks. Well, where's the other 25 coming from?
Right. I mean, you know, we lost a cumulative amount of performance. You know, Onyemata is not on this team. I know he was a guy that we kind of took for granted, but he was a serious piece in that rotation. Also, a bit more on the run stopping side. Caden Ellis could also be using it after the quarterback, to your point. I mean, like, I'm excited about Za'Darius Smith. I'd be more excited if we had traded for him in 2018.
Yes.
you know. But you know, but he signed him. He's a free agent. He's got tons of experience, as you mentioned, 70.5 sacks, and maybe we can get a little juice like Calais Campbell brought us a couple years ago. But again, designated pass rusher, sort of pitch count, if you will, at this you know, this stage of his career, and hopefully they can money ball the sacks that we're missing right now.
That's the thing. Somebody, one of these guys, two of these guys, three of these guys are going to have a much better season than what we're anticipating. And I don't know who that's going to be, but that's what Mike is telling you.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to go above and beyond what the expectation is.
And guy, look, I like Kendall Daniels. I mean, like, I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom. Like, I woke up this morning, I'm going to poop on everything. No, there's things on this team I'm really excited about. We got one of the best running backs. We got one of the arguably the best running back. We got one of the best wide receivers. We got a tight end who's going to probably hit new highs in this offense. But when you still don't know what your delivery system is, you know, just less than a month before the season starts, it's kind of cast a bit of a shadow. And so I'm just keeping it real today. I think it's kind of a gap year. We have unbelievable we have amazing cap space. We're second most cap space projected by Spotrac for 2027, which you can do a lot of things with. And I like the way our front office is approaching these contracts. But to get to Carol's point, you've not replaced what we're going to see. You know, we're going to see how our man Divine Diablo and Christian Harris is. But again, think about this. Harris, one-year deal. You know, Ebicom, one-year deal. Ojulari, one-year deal. The only guy that got a multi-year deal was Jahan Dotson.
Yep.
And even then, it's minuscule by NFL standards.
Yeah. No, they didn't spend a lot. But you know what? Now we know why. Because they paid the guys that were already in-house.
The intent was to lock up your core.
That's right.
And we're going to get better at some of these other positions, maybe through the guys you already drafted this year, but in the future. And we may augment it with free agents next year. I mean, legitimate free agents.
Yeah, look, I am one of these people who everybody wants to project the future and say that things will be better. You know how many teams have said, you know how long the Jets have said that? Do you know how many years the Cleveland Browns had the number one overall pick? And they still haven't done jack.
Right.
Like, that projection that you're going to get all the free agent moves right, that you're going to be able to draft the guy you want or you think is going to be a difference maker. Guys, everything has to fall into line.
Right.
And sometimes, let's be honest, it's luck. When we drafted Matt Ryan in 08, for those of you who remember or were here or watching football during that time period, did you think he was the right guy? That is what we're talking about when we start saying, hey, we'll look to next year, and oh, by the way, all of this stuff is going to go our way. And that's why we always tell you it's so hard to tank in the NFL. You cannot go into any NFL locker room and tell these guys, hey, we need to lose out.
Right.
Man, you can kiss my butt. I'm not doing that.
I don't know what kind of idiot would have said you build with defense and you go to go draft Glenn Dorsey with it. Well, I said that out of LSU. That was me in 2008.
It's not happening.
But no, like, I believe Matt has a vision. I believe that Arthur Blank's finally stopped meddling. I believe that Rich McKay is completely out of the equation. You know, and now you're going to let these guys cook. But there are limitations to this year's team.
Yeah.
You know, and look, we didn't have a lot of cap space this year. They weren't going to throw good money after bad. That's part of it. But they did lock in the most promising pieces on this team for a reason. And look, now I agree. I know what you said earlier. And other guys would agree with you and say, look, if you really feel this team is that bad, then you blow it up completely. But I don't think that team is that bad. I just think this team has a ceiling for this season.
Are we above average or average?
I think we're probably, again, with a healthy Kirk Cousins last year, we won four games in a row to finish the season. You could have argued, as one guy said on Twitter earlier today, well, hell, we could have just kept Cousins. Yes, we could have.
That's true.
This organization was turning the page on Cousins, getting the money off the books as best they could.
Yeah.
And there we go. Look, the best thing for this thing is for Penix Jr. to somehow get on the field and show he's the man. It's the best thing. And then we can worry about the risks of his injuries or injury moving forward. But the best thing for this team is I don't want to also ran into a. I want to see Penix establish himself. But I want to see it soon. I don't want to have to be worried about midway through the season. Hey, now we finally get Penix after. Because we're still not going to really know what we've got.
Yeah.
If Penix plays in six games this year, you're going to be any closer to knowing if he's your franchise quarterback?
You're not.
And you're not going to draft a quarterback in 27?
Well, I just
depending on how good that class is?
I think it's also unfair if what you're saying is true. What if you're saying turns out to be true?
Right. And I hope I'm wrong.
We have a losing season where a quarterback plays limited amount of games and you're ready to invest again. I'm throwing the number out there. It's going to be more, guys, because quarterbacks get more. $150 million. You ready to do that? You ready to do that? That's becomes the problem, Mike. And I don't want to hear this, well, we've seen enough to do. No, you haven't. That's why it's imperative that he plays as much as possible once the situation renders itself. I mean, like, we're talking about being cleared And right. Day-Day said yesterday, it's funny, he said, Day-Day said, I think he'll be cleared after this week, right after this second preseason game.
Please.
And then that gets you to the third preseason game. So if he's cleared, then you go, well, he's playing. Well, slow your roll, because that means he still hasn't played 11-on-11 consistently throughout camp. Are you willing to throw him out there? Maybe they are. I don't know.
Look, maybe they do see, I mean, again, we've tried to, how many times has this show and other shows discussed the difference between 7-on-7 and 11-on-11?
Well, I just don't think it's real football.
But it's just, there are things that you get from the 11-on-11. I guess they're not going to hit him. But the idea is, and Brian McFadden didn't think it would be 2 weeks to be enough to get a sample size to say, hey, he's week one against Pittsburgh on the road.
I don't either, man. I just don't. All right, let's talk to Norris in Flowery Branch. Norris, thanks for the phone call, man. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
So, hear me out on this. It's the glaring thing that sticks out to me the most. They haven't named Tua the starter because they see him practice on a day-to-day basis. They also know what the future of the franchise looks like if they do not get to see what Penix looks like. So, the Tua signing was if Michael Penix isn't cleared, we at least have a serviceable quarterback that can start game one, game two, and then we absolutely have to see what Penix looks like. Unless Tua comes in and he goes, 2-0, and he's got 8 touchdowns, maybe 1 interception, no interceptions, whatnot. That seems like the MO of what's actually happening right now. And if you look at the trajectory of the franchise, these one-year deals allow us to have so much more cap room next year, to where if Penix is the guy, you can completely fill the team up with compliments to the offense. You can shore up the defense. You can do everything that you need to do financially in the offseason on top of what you get in the draft, because we do have all of the draft picks coming up. Right. If not, then there is the possibility that you draft, but there is also a formidable free agent quarterback that they could go after if they don't like who is in the draft, or they don't fall in position well enough to take someone that they like in the draft. And that's someone with the likes of Baker Mayfield, who is unhappy in Tampa Bay. And yeah, it would be weird to be pulling for Baker Mayfield, but it is a possibility.
I still think they would try to get it off the tree, in the draft moving forward, and then they put Ian Cunningham's stamp on it. Like, they didn't draft Michael Penix Jr. That's why I keep telling people. And they might be saying all the right things, but again, Baker would be probably the most attractive, guy. And certainly there's hard feelings right now. That can change in Tampa.
Hey, no doubt. And Norris, you bring up a valid point. Look, I'm with Mike on this, and this is my philosophy, and it comes from talking to general managers over the years. Your fan base falls in love with a guy you grow with. It's why you love Matt Ryan. It's why you still love Mike Vick. The guy you draft and you grow with him, and you see him go and go through these growing pains and then lead your team to either the brink of the Super Bowl or the Super Bowl or to playoff runs, that's this league.
Right.
This league is not fill a gap, we'll do it again. That's not what the fan base, that's not what you want. The reason why the Bills love Josh Allen, they've seen it. Right? Kansas City, they've seen it. That's what we need. And I hate to say it, but we need the next Matt Ryan. We need another guy that we can grow with. And that part of it is, Norris, I hear what you're saying. You're saying, hey, even if it's 1 year and you've got all these other pieces, we just need a really valid quarterback, and then you go get that guy. But again, a lot of luck has to go into that.
Look, and Penix may still be that guy, And you heard Stefanski. Now, you and I we all roll our eyes because Stefanski kind of gives us some dry coach speak. But he says Penix is where he's supposed to be. So if they laid out a plan, and the plan is secret, Carl, unbeknownst to us,
it is.
Was always going to be, hey, he may be ready for week one, but if not, to the caller's point, Tua was always the Look, remember, we're not paying for Tua. We're paying $1 million for Tua. The Dolphins are paying for Tua to be a Falcon. So you've got the insurance policy built, and he's a serviceable quarterback who's, again, and there's still a chance he could catch fire and reestablish himself. In which case, you're great.
That's what they're hoping in Minnesota with Kyler Murray, right? But, can I hear Kevin Stefanski real quick while Norris brought this up, and then Q will grab your phone call. Kevin Stefanski on what he wants to see before naming QB1.
I'd just say we're continuing on our process, continuing where we are, keeping the main thing, which is the practices this week, I think, again, will be good for everybody, including the quarterbacks, going up against a defense that they haven't seen. So all of this is important as we get ready for week one.
Kevin, you didn't answer it. What do you need to see before you name QB1? I need to see execution. I need to see more accuracy. I need to give us what you're looking for. What he said is we're looking forward to the practices this week. Well, we know that. That's the reason why Norris is saying, hey, they haven't named Tua the starter.
Right.
But we don't even know what he's looking for to name that starter. 404-726-0929. Hey. Q in Atlanta. Mike, real quick. Okay. Let's grab Q. Q's been holding on. You want to join the conversation. Q, welcome in. Hey, man.
Hey, how you doing? Good.
What's going on?
Fine. Everything is well. I got 2 points. If I'm not mistaken, we'll get the Super Bowl in 2028. So
yes. Yes, we do.
I'm thinking pretty much this year is going to be a lack of danger. I mean, we're going to play good ball. I mean, if we give them a chance, because it's only preseason, so people are just prejudging and losing their minds like, you know, we're the worst team ever. But I'm saying all that, Penix, hopefully by, you know, sometime out of this year, or he might just sit and they bring him over for the Super Bowl run. So that's what I'm kind of sort of thinking. And then, too, as far as everything else, man, I mean, that's pretty much it. I'm not a coach, but that's what I'm seeing. And that's what I'm thinking. And as far as the quarterback situation, we need a stable quarterback that can, we need a healthy, stable quarterback that can be average and just be consistent through the year.
Right. And I think most people out there want some degree of mobility. I think you want a guy, look, you got to pick your spots. I mean, you can't be Jackson Dart, now you're in the blue tent the whole game, your whole career, right? You can't be RG3 and you get knocked out. But I do think, you know, look at the guys that have made Super Bowls last couple of years. Look at what Darnold can move, Carl. Mm-hmm. Like Mahomes, we're going to see how his mobility is sort of hampered early on in this rehab when he's out on the field. But you got to have a guy that can move. Right, and I, that's what I want to get in the draft next year. Unless Penix somehow can take the yards that's there, I'm not saying he's a dual. We know he's not a dual threat, but he showed the ability, Carl, to move. For some reason last year, whether he was cowed by the coaching staff, he didn't take what the defense gave him. Hopefully, that changes under Stefanski.
Yeah,
but I'm not excited about either one of them. I'm not excited about Penix or Tua, but I hopefully I'm proven wrong, and one of these guys grabs the brass ring.
All right, guys, we got plenty more to dive into. We'll get to 4th and 1. What else is going on around the league? We'll fill you in when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.